feel like I've grown. Like, it's night and day compared to last year. I put on some weight, which I planned to do over the off season, just so I can be able to block bigger guys and do things, especially like a gunner too on special teams.
Tyrell Shavers. I was just Googling his college images, like an image search of Tyrell Shavers in college. Why was I doing that?
I did that yesterday, actually. Were they for him at Alabama?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Because?
I was just thinking I could find a picture of him, like him, Jerry Judy, Jalen Waddle, and Devonta Smith, like all in a photo. Be like, show me a better receiver core. But
yeah, I like
I only found him with Smith, and then him with he was always next to Butch Davis. Is that the coach who's at Tennessee now? I gotta freshen back up on college football.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. One quick,
why were you looking?
I was looking because I've noticed something on the Bills roster.
What's that?
Well, when you cut down to 53,
yeah,
a lot of numbers become available.
Oh.
13, 14, 15, 16, 19 are all available.
Wow, that's a 13, 14, 15, 16, 19?
Yeah.
So you're thinking Shavers is going to switch to...
What did he wear in college? 14.
14.
He wore 14.
I kind of like him in 80, though.
He's wearing 80. I had somebody write
in,
do you think,
80.
Do you think he keeps 80? And there was a report out there, maybe Buffalo Rumblings, maybe it was Trainwreck. Somebody had a... There's a player on the roster that if he makes the 53 is going to change his number. That could be Elijah Moore, who wears number 18.
Yeah, Shavers also wore 14 in Mississippi State, which is where he did. Oh, wait, maybe not. Maybe he switched around. He wore number 9 at Mississippi State. Yeah, it looks like he wore number 9.
Well, 9's taken.
19's not taken.
19 is not taken. We got some availability in the middle numbers.
But somebody will switch.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Howdy. Happy Wednesday. It's 7:07. We'll talk to Sal at 7:30 about the roster. We're keeping tabs on the practice squad. Tease this going to the break. So the Bills, there's a report that they are adding a safety, and we do not know if it's active roster or if it's, just practice squad. But yeah. Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans and the league, right?
Yeah.
For KPRC, he's reporting that the Bills are signing Sam Franklin, per a league source. And Ryan Talbot of the Shout Pat podcast with Matt Perino and writer for New York Upstate and Syracuse.com, he pointed out last night that Sam Franklin was one of Chris Tabor's favorite weapons on special teams during their time together with the Panthers. So I don't know if that means that Sam Franklin's going to the active roster to be on special teams, but there's a connection there. Chris Tabor in his first season here with the Bills as coach, and he's pulled a guy that he worked with before from Carolina for special teams. So could that be an active roster safety? It's possible.
Could. I not seeing practice squad attached to the original report, I think could. We don't know, though. He didn't also say active roster. So
nope.
Maybe we get a better sign of that today. And there's also the Levi Wallace thing, which, like, he's
in town?
He said on Instagram, like, so what it exactly was on his story, he posted, it's just a black screen with the little location tab, and it was Buffalo, New York. And then somebody else said that they saw him at the airport, and he said, wow, you guys are watching me, or like something like along those lines. So he basically said he's here.
Yeah.
Is that for practice squad if he signs? Is that for active roster? Is he going to start against Baltimore? And is that impossible that he just shows up and starts?
How was he? He was fine, right? I thought he was fine.
Yeah, he was Dane Jackson.
He was fine.
Right?
He was fine. He, of course, in 13 seconds, was a key figure.
It's zone coverage, I think, but he's the guy lined up on Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
On the 75-yard touchdown. And is he also not the guy lined up on Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
On the last play that sets up the field goal?
Yes, and whatever, it's 7:09,
yeah,
7:10 a.m. on August 27th.
You don't want to do frame by frame 13 seconds coverage here?
You know what? Let's not.
Not today?
Let's not. No. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2552.
He's been gone a long time now, by the way. It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's his last game as a Bill.
He went to Pittsburgh
for a couple years. It didn't really work out well there. He was in Denver last year. He was more of a depth guy. He didn't play against the Bills. He was inactive in the wild card game. And then he was in Jacksonville for like 2 weeks of training camp. and then injury settlement, and he was off the team. So maybe it would be a lot to say he would walk in and start, but it's more just him and Dane Jackson are kind of put in the same bucket. Just like, feels like a guy that's been here they trust, and like the idea of him walking in over top of a six-round rookie, I don't think is that crazy.
Got an interesting comment in the chat here. We started talking about receivers and Shavers making the team and the group of receivers. You can let us know if you're feeling good about the group or great about the group or, you know, wondering. Chris writes in on the YouTube chat, is six wide receivers considered a lot? If so, do you think they have six because there might be something with Shakir's availability? That's a fair point I had not thought about. So Shakir has the high ankle sprain. He's not on IR, so he's going to play. He's not going to miss 4 weeks, right? We know that. And availability right. for the opener, maybe. Yes, right? I don't know if there's like a really locked-in timeline for that, but that's a great point. Do they carry an extra right now because they're just waiting on Shakir? Of course, you could practice squat a guy, too, and elevate him if Shakir's not healthy. So
yep.
The numbers game of the roster, it's a good question for Sal. I don't know that it would necessarily affect him to carry an additional one. But we should probably entertain the idea that Shakir might not be 100% by the time the opener's here. Might be really close, might play through something, or you know, might be good to go.
You'd want to see him start practicing
now,
at the beginning of next week at the latest. Right? If he's not 1 week, not even 1 week from today. How about, well, actually, we got to get back into the routine of this. What's the first day they'll practice? It is Wednesdays, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 1 week from today, if I have this right, I think will be their first injury report of the season, like game week injury report. If he's on that report in 1 week as having not practiced, then I will be thinking he's not playing in the opener. But anything before that, even limited work, like I would expect that he'll be ready. Will he be 100%? I mean, he played against Baltimore last year and he wasn't 100% in the regular season game. So it could be a reason. Shavers, though, is such a different type of receiver than he is.
Yeah. Well, for sure.
In fact, they're about as polar opposite you could get.
Are we just assuming that Shavers was the last receiver to make it, or was Moore the last receiver to make it?
Well, that's a good thought. It could have been Moore. Because Moore is much closer to what Shakir is.
Mm-hmm.
Little different, little more versatility, I think, outside. Probably not as good as a Yak, not even close to as good as a Yak player. But that could be it. Samuel, too. Right? Samuel and Moore. If something is wrong with Shakir, like those two together, I think, are his replacement. Unless they're going to do the Coleman inside thing, which might be nice to test out, but I don't think they've shown any signs of wanting to do that.
No. And the commitment they make to Samuel, like now that he's on the roster, even though he missed all of training camp. The Bills have done this a couple times where a guy is hurt for all of camp and then is just like got his job. They feel that good about him.
Yeah.
This happened with Terrell Bernard, right? This happened with Cedric Van Pran Granger, who missed all of camp in the preseason. And what is he? Just activated off pup, like, okay, he's good to go. So it must be, I mean, the Bills, I'm sure, have certain players where, you know, it didn't go well for them in August. Don't care. We know this player can be a difference maker for us. Maybe with, you know, Van Pran, that's down the line. Maybe with a guy like it last year, Terrell Bernard, when he kind of bursts onto the scene, like, okay, we just kind of know this is going to be the guy. 3 years ago? How many years ago is that now?
At one point, that was Shakir.
It was.
Shakir caught 10 passes as a rookie and then in his second training camp struggled. Like, I remember daily, weekly, like, he's not having a good camp, and everybody seemed to agree. And was it ever a thought for them? Like, they just liked him. Yeah. Fifth-round pick. They just moved down from a fifth-round pick after 1 year. Eddie Ulofosio, so you can do that. But they felt enough conviction about him where, like, yeah, we don't really care. Like, we trust him enough. Like, we think he's on his way to being a player. And they were paid off for that. I don't know that you'll get paid off that often on a fifth-round pick. Like that, you know, being a 100-target player eventually. But, yeah, they gave Terrell Bernard a starting job at middle linebacker after basically not practicing and playing an entire preseason. And that worked out for them, too. That happening with Samuel, though, like, what's the equivalent for Samuel on that? Like, it really working out for him. Like, it would just be him being depth at this point, right? Like, him living up to what his contract is. Anyone even thinking that's possible?
Yes.
Because living up to his contract is what? He's getting 50 catches in this offense this season.
I think that is living up to the contract.
And you think he can get 50 catches in this offense this year? Because that, I think, is a lot for me to see him having.
Living up to this contract is, 50 catches and, like, 4 touchdowns. The contract is, go look at receivers that make $9 million.
But I'm saying 50 catches might be a lot for him.
It might be.
Maybe 20 more than he had last year. You can see him getting 20 more catches than he had last year.
Depends what he plays through. It's one of the things, you learn this lesson sometimes in football as a player. I'm not a player, but I think I'm a Baker Mayfield for this. Baker played through an injury, and it cost him. It was
ridiculous.
It cost him. Everyone thought he was kind of toast, like, I can't play anymore. He had a shoulder injury. Curtis Samuel.
And he had broken ribs, a shoulder injury, and I think a calf injury all at the same time in Cleveland.
And played.
Yeah. And the Browns punished him for it.
Yeah. And with Curtis Samuel, Joe Marino had the stat, and I thought it was really noteworthy. You know how many games Curtis Samuel has missed in the last 3 years? This is a guy who's always hurt, always injured. He was injured all last year, right? Missed a lot of camp because of turf toe.
I would have guessed before you did the air quotes, like 10.
Three.
Three?
He's missed 3 games the last 3 years. He only missed 3 games for the Bills last year.
A game a year.
Yeah. 3 games last year, 1 game the year before. Now, okay. He's not listed as starting a lot of games, but he got in there and he got 46 targets. If he's healthier than last year, he'll get more work in the offense. Like his game log last year, Curtis Samuels, was a guy that was just a non-factor. We kind of it was easy to forget about him existing.
Yeah.
And he's got the hamstring, of course. Like that's a big factor here. Again, we're coming into a season where, he's a little bit behind because of all these injuries. But, if he's a regular part of their offense, he could certainly get more than – here's your number, Joe. Ready? By November 3rd last year, how many targets did Curtis Samuel have? It's the first 8 games of the season, he had 19 targets. He had 12 catches at the halfway mark.
Nothing.
Basically. Absolutely nothing. And then the game in Indy, you start to see it. He gets – here's your number. 12 targets in his first however many games that was. And then the next 2 games, he got 14. And against New England, the last game of the season, he got 8. In the playoffs, he's 3-2-3. Like, he's getting more. Not that 3-2-3 are all that much, but he was just more of a factor as the season went along.
Who's he playing over, though? Like, for him to get more work, for him to be on the field more than, a quarter of the snaps, doesn't he have to be displacing Palmer or Shakir?
Yeah, or Kincaid, depending on their formations, what they're going to use, right? Like
they could start using him. I mean, last year, this was much more of a talking point last year than it was. I don't think we've heard anything about it this year, although part of that's because he hasn't been on the field, is using him all around the format. We're using him in the backfield, right? Although, that's kind of the thing. I like him as a player. If he could stay healthy, I'd love the idea of using him in the offense. But don't they have everything that he does? I was about to say, you could use him in the backfield more. But is even him in the backfield giving me more than James Cook and Ty Johnson are in the pass game? Like, you could argue it isn't.
Yeah. Maybe the best case for Curtis Samuel to get more targets is an injury to one of the backs. Right? If all of a sudden Ty Johnson becomes unavailable and Curtis Samuel's in for Ty Johnson in certain spots.
He's a weapon out of the backfield?
Maybe. I mean, Johnson
or Shakir. Like, I think one thing that Samuels is good at is short yardage yak plays. I think he can do more down the field, but that's one of his areas of expertise, and I don't need that. I've got Shakir. I've got everything I feel like Samuel does. I've got another guy that does that.
Yeah.
There's no specialty of his that I don't have anywhere else.
And the thing that Samuel does not bring to the backfield that Ty Johnson does, like if you see Curtis Samuel in the backfield, you are certainly not expecting him to stay in and pass protect, right?
No.
Whereas
no.
With Ty Johnson, it's, he could stay in, he could motion out, he could leak out, he could burn whoever's responsible there. Like with Ty Johnson, there's, I guess, a question as to what will happen, whereas Cook and Samuel, to a greater extent, Samuel – you'd kind of know what he's going to do. 803-0550. Speaking of receivers, the Patriots kept 8.
Did they?
8.
They kept all of those receivers?
Yeah. Now, one difference might be.
Wow.
Between the Bills have 6, the Patriots have 8. One of those Patriots receivers might be a special teams guy, like a return man. And for the Bills, the return man is at corner.
Yeah.
So that's an easy kind of one apart, but they kept 8.
The other thing is, so one of those eight is Jalen Polk, who is on IR, their second-round pick from last year. And when we talked to Evan Lazar on Monday, he said if he wasn't injured, he was on his way to getting cut. Like, and maybe they'll do it at some point during the year. Like, so even though seven is still a lot, like, Polk maybe got saved by getting injured, by hanging around a little bit longer. But I'm still surprised they kept Javon Baker, they kept Kendrick Bourne, they kept Kyle Williams, they were always going to keep, they just drafted him. Boutte, Matt Collins. Yeah, that's a lot.
803-0550.
Maybe that's a sign Diggs doesn't start the year? Although there's been nothing that would indicate that he wouldn't. I mean, he's been practicing without a sleeve on his knee. So I wouldn't guess that it's Diggs related.
Yesterday, we drafted in a snake draft, if you missed it, in the 8 o'clock hour, we drafted former Bills that will become future Bills. And the number one overall pick was Rasul Douglas, who signed.
Yes.
So that means Josh has an open roster spot, and we're going to do some waivers here. Right? Why not?
Waiver claims.
Waiver
claims.
Should
we do a fab budget or no? I'm just kidding. Just
reverse waiver order priority. Owen had the last pick, so it's going to go Owen, me, you, Josh. The idea is, even though Josh had a player get poached, he shouldn't get rewarded and get the first pick. We all get a chance to run waivers, and then Josh is going to pick from who's left. So we have to drop a player if you want.
Well, I have a very easy decision. This is a massive
advantage to be going first here.
Yeah, I mean, this is massive. Pretty there's a very clear one.
So Owen's team is, again, these are former Bills not on the roster. We are drafting who will return. Owen's team is Harrison Phillips, Jake Kumerow, and
Dean Marlowe. Because you stole Saran Neal from me. That was my real want.
So are you dropping someone?
I'm dropping Kumerow, and I'm adding Levi Wallace.
Okay.
Because Wallace is in town.
Guy's in town.
Also, so, Jake Kumerow is not in the league. So, you know, people wondered about that pick.
Yeah.
All right, so Owen has picked up Levi Wallace and dropped Jake Kumerow.
Yeah, that's a very clear there was a massive advantage when I found out I was going to get to make this first pick today.
Yeah.
By the way, we should make this so the longer it takes for the guy to return. Like, my Harrison Phillips pick is a kind of a long-term pick, I think. We should scale it so that if it's a further away signing, we get a little more cash in the pot. Like, if Phillips comes back 4 years from now, it should be $20 instead of $5. If you can just get a random Venmo four years
from now, hey, what's Harrison Phillips sign.
Yeah. Long shots.
I'm just scrolling through the ESPN entire transaction page to see if any former Bills were cut loose.
There were a few.
Yeah, do I want to make a move here? Who are some of the guys that were released?
MVS got cut.
No, he's not coming back.
Naheem Hines got cut.
He's not coming back.
Raheem Blackshear got cut.
He's not coming back.
Quentin Morris got cut.
Now that one. I don't know. I like Zach Davidson after last night's Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I don't want to move off Zach Davidson. Good.
I think that might be the list of former Bills that I saw.
All right. You know, in that case, I'm gonna hold steady. I've got Gabe Davis.
Dustin Hopkins got cut.
Gabe Davis, Saran Neal, and Kyle Allen. Which, I mean, Saran Neal and Kyle Allen aren't coming this year. Gabe's my only shot, so I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep my roster as is.
All right. So that's me next?
Yep.
All right, I'll make a change here. I'll cut Zach Moss and I'll add Quentin Morris. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
They might like Zach Davidson, but for the last two seasons while Zach Davidson has been here, Quentin Morris has been above him.
Yeah.
So I'll go Quentin Morris.
Leaving Josh to pick up a player. No drop required because Rasul Douglas did sign, 30 minutes after you picked him first overall?
Same segment.
Like 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So he's going to cut his first overall pick one day after drafting him.
So he signs with the Dolphins, and your move is?
I'm going to go with Ryan Bates.
Wow.
Whoa. Ryan Bates. Did he get released?
No, he did not. Okay. But it's a bit of a hedge of my bets there, a little bit of a long-term pick.
Okay. I don't mind it.
Rather than the immediate one, because that didn't work out for me yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah. I tried to go for something that maybe be more immediate. But
Bates is under contract with the Bears and then is a UFA.
Mm-hmm.
I could come back.
And the Bills have a UFA guard, David Edwards, next year.
They could. All right.
Go cheap.
All right. Put Ryan Bates on Josh's team. $5 from each of us to the winner of the next player to sign.
Man, which means we're all going to Venmo Owen in, 4 hours when right. Levi Wallace signs?
On the practice squad?
I'm really looking forward to it.
Or active roster?
I think we determined even practice squad counts.
Yeah, it counts. Yeah. Practice squad counts.
He'll sign to the practice squad. Practice squad, yeah.
Huge.
And they'll elevate him to start week one.
And then we'll go through waivers again because it'll be an open spot. Sal, on the other side, did you think people could have this much fun with practice squad signings of former players?
We find a way.
This is giving me hope that this my greatest dream of all, to have a dynasty league where you just draft coordinators. This is proof it could work.
We've never figured out when the right time to pick, though, is, right?
Now.
Yeah, right now?
Why not right now? Coordinators to get jobs.
All right, let's do it at 9 o'clock.
I'm in.
And maybe we should do it next week. Get our coaching dynasty league. You can't draft any NFL head coaches. You just draft coaches to become head coaches.
Or college head coaches.
Yeah.
You know who'd or, be, or retired you know head who, coaches.
You know who'd be my on-the-board player who's a diamond in the rough who I'd hang on to forever?
Diamond. Nick Saban.
Davis Webb.
Davis Webb.
Oh, wow.
Davis Webb's going to be an NFL coach.
That
Book
is
it.
A long-term bet.
Get ready
I
for
like
it. All right. Sal on the other side. On the roster. You know what they could still be looking for. Track and practice squad. Potential moves there. Jeremy and Sneaky Joe here on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline as the Bills have their 53-man initial roster. And could be changes coming to that, I mean, as soon as today, because we know they're signing some players, some practice squad. We kind of wait to see on that. Sal, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. I'm laughing because I get in, I look at X, and I'm like, you know, it says trending on the right. Mm-hmm. And I see Codrington is trending. I'm like, oh, what is going on now? And it's just like the debate, right? And it reminded me, Joe, we used to have our battles about Andre Roberts, remember?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's kind of, it's very, very similar, right? It's very similar. So it's just, it's kind of funny, right? We're in this space where you never know. I mean, today holds another day and a lot of things can happen, but it just reminded me of that and I started laughing.
Yeah. You know? What's the debate about? Like keeping a guy that only returns, basically?
Yeah. It's a tradition like no other, right? That I've been sitting here for 10 years and, you know, at least since this regime, and really tried to kind of explain or battle with people, you know, why the Bills do this, whether you like it or hate it or not. Like what the value is, and fans have a very, very, you know, their own opinion, and that's fine. But you know, my job is to tell you what. Okay, that's fine. But here's the reality of what the Bills feel about it, and this is why. And I don't think that hits well a lot of times with people.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, you could make the case that a return man is not necessary in years past, or special teamer roster spots. Maybe it's overdone in years past. There's absolutely an inflated or an increased value in these players in the new format, Sal. And I think this year, games are gonna turn on touchbacks and returns. And you know, for a while it's 1/3 of the game, and that drifted. Mm-hmm. It is way back up in terms of the importance of special teams right now.
Yeah, and for me, it's not even about kick returns. It's punt returns for him. I always felt, on a side note about this particular player and position, you know, nothing that happened throughout training camp or preseason ever gave me any indication that someone vaulted over him as the punt returner. And then you had to do that. To me, you had to do that to earn a roster spot. Kick returns is another deal, and you're right, Jeremy. Like, that's very important. Look what they did in the preseason, all these teams. I will make a prediction on the NFL. You're going to see a few more touchbacks than you did in the preseason. I think part of the reason you saw so many like returns, yes, because it is going to go to the 35. You're going to see more anyway. It's because coaches were evaluating their roster, and you can't evaluate guys tackling if you don't have to tackle them. You know what I mean? So instead of kick it through the end zone, like, hey, kick it to the 5, and you know, let's see what we can do here. So anyway, just one of the many things, obviously, on the roster that went down yesterday that we can talk about.
And we mentioned this the other day too, Sal. Like, even though Codrington, I think maybe more his specialty is the punt returning, especially over like Laviska Shenault, who really had never done it in his career. It's also not like if there are more kick returns this year than last year because of the change in rules. Like, Codrington only returned 11 kicks last year, but there were 33 players in the league that returned 10 or more kicks, and he ranked 14th. It's not like he's bad at the kick return part.
No, and he's actually really, really good at punt returning, too. He had one of the higher averages in the league last year. So I just think it's a player that they really trust and believe in, and they believe in that spot. And I understand why people say, well, he doesn't offer you anything on defense. And I get it. Believe me, I will tell you, I'll be the first to tell you, the Bills wish he did. I mean, that'd be great. There's no doubt. But I think they trust him enough at that spot. Now, that being said, there's a report out there that the Bills are, you know, signing another Sam Franklin, a special teamer. He's not a return man, but he's a special teamer, and that's Chris Tabor kind of getting a guy that he coached in Carolina. There are moves to be made today. It's not Sam Franklin necessarily, but there are moves that are going to be made today. Is there somebody out there on the waiver wire even who the Bills go, you know what? He's a good punt returner, and he can play offense or defense. And they remember that's what they did last year by getting Codrington. They traded for him because they didn't have enough faith in Daquan Hardy, and they needed somebody who could do it. Maybe there's somebody like that. So today is a day, guys, where a lot of things – there's going to be roster movement today, and it could be on the Bills.
Should we ask, is it Levi Wallace? Like, is that a real thing? Like,
well, I mean, it's not a returner, but sure, it could be. Right. I don't know. I mean,
roster,
according to
– roster.
Yeah, it could. I mean, I would think practice squad more than anything if Levi Wallace is in town. I mean, he hasn't been on a team in a while, right? And I guess he was released by the Jags, right? He was with the Jags, maybe, was it?
He was with the Jags.
I have to go back and look.
He was. I looked this morning because I saw the Instagram post that he was here. Yeah. He was with the Jags for only 2 weeks of training camp, and then he was released with an injury settlement.
I doubt you'd be on the 53 for that, but there could be somebody out there. Here's one thing that could happen today that I want to make sure we touch on, so I'll say it now. You know, yesterday what happened was they put Max Harrison and Tylon Grable on injured reserve, right? The Tylon Grable thing was a surprise to me. It's the only thing that I missed on the projected 53, and I say that because I thought Cedric Van Pran Granger would stay on PUP, and then Tylon Grable would be on the roster. Instead, they activated Van Pran Granger off PUP, and Tylon Grable goes on IR. So it's a one-for-one offensive line. But you only get two of those guys to do yesterday. That is Tylon Grable and Max Harrison. They're going to miss four games. Okay, so that gets us right to, and I'll be, okay, bam, Tre'Davious White's on the roster. That's great. They didn't keep Dane Jackson. That means Tre'Davious White must be in some way, shape, or form good to go, right, whenever that is soon here. However, I will just put it out there. I don't know anything about this. I'm just letting everybody know how operationally. They could still decide today to put Tre'Davious White in IR, and he still would only miss four games. Hmm. He made the 53. So today's the day that if you sign somebody, it doesn't have to be to release anybody. You could put a guy in IR today, and then he could come back after four games.
Okay. Well, that could be an answer to – I wanted to ask you about this reported Sam Franklin signing, Sal, and whether or not that ends up being active roster or practice squad. There was no mention of it in the report, but I was wondering if he is active roster, like whose spot he would take, if it would even necessarily be a safety, or maybe it's what you just said, where a guy goes on an injury list and that just creates a spot.
And I don't know. It's a great question, Joe. We'd have to figure out, first of all, you know, you have to find out, first of all, if it's active roster or practice squad. If it's practice squad, that's fine, and then you can just elevate him or whatever. But if he's going to play, if he's going to be on the active roster, well, somebody else has to go in some way. And it doesn't have to mean they have to get released. They could be traded, or they can go on injured reserve, and then they miss four games, and then you could decide to bring them back.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, let's talk about the big picture. You pretty much nailed the 53-man roster. I mean, one small...
Like
I guess,
on a technicality, right?
You didn't get it perfect. I want to say no surprises, really. Again, it is initial. No. But, you know, when you look at the whole thing, why you picked it the way you did and why you think the Bills kind of lined up with what you were thinking, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, as I always say this to everybody, my job is to tell you what the Buffalo Bills are thinking or are going to do from my perspective, from watching them. And it's not what Sal Capaccio would do. Who cares, right? I'm just another guy that could have an opinion because we have a lot of people like that. My job is to say, here's what I think the Bills are going to do. And this roster, to me, was kind of really taking shape weeks ago, guys, to be quite honest. We did an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast last night, live reaction, Hard Knocks, 53-man roster. And I said this to Matt Bove, and he agreed. I said, listen, you could have asked me probably 2 weeks ago, and I would have got really close to the roster. And I think a lot of people would have, because I do think that this roster, there weren't a lot of questions, to be quite honest. What were the questions at the end of the day? Does Tyrell Shavers make it? Does Jimmy Charlo make it? First of all, never thought Jimmy Charlo would make the 53. Great story. Glad he's on the practice squad. Perfect practice squad candidate. He's going to help your offense prepare because he's going to do everything on defense possible to act like he's supposed to as a Baltimore Raven week one and Jet week two and all that, right? That's what a practice squad guy does. And I do think, and I felt for a couple of weeks, that Tyrell Shavers had done enough to make the team, and then Saturday night clinched it for me in Tampa. That really was the only question. There were a couple of questions about, what happens at O-line? Do they keep 9? Because if they want to keep 10, how do you do that? Well, we know now, because Tylan Grable's on IR. They kept 9. They have a 10th that went on IR. And then maybe a little bit on the D-line. So when you ask me, Jeremy, like, you know, how and why I thought the way I did that was so accurate, I would say I don't think it was that difficult as of like a couple weeks ago. This roster was really taking shape by then based on what you saw at practice and how they were treating things.
What was the thing you were most wondering about yesterday? Was it the Dane Jackson part of in the corner room more than anything? Or were you pretty sure even going into yesterday?
No, you know, I think actually for me, it was all the talk surrounding defensive tackle with Jordan Phillips coming in, even though we did learn that Phillips would be, you know, going on the practice squad. How about this, Joe? I say not even defensive tackle, because Daquan's part of this. You know what I was wondering yesterday? Like, would they be releasing someone to save money?
Right.
Like, we didn't get any of that yesterday. So where somebody said, well, how are they under the cap? It's a good question. Is there an adjustment to somebody that's been made? Because my understanding was once they went to the 53-man roster and 53 salaries counted, they would be over the cap. Apparently, that's either not the case, or there's an adjustment somewhere with someone's contract we don't know about yet. You know what I mean? Like, that was something I was wondering. Like, how are they going to do this? To me, there had to be some money going out. Now, with some of the players they released, I was looking at it last night. Some of those players that they released were still counting in the top 51 with over $1 million cap hits. So you got rid of like $5-6 million just by doing that. And then you add in guys who are not in the top 51. So it might have been a wash anyway, and you might be okay and still a couple million under. They have to be under anyway. But that was a big question for me, is would there be a money move yesterday?
Yeah. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, you can check out Sal's coverage of this at WGR550.com. We'll watch practice squad, we'll watch signings today, because even though it's the initial 53, things could, you know, kind of turn quickly.
Yeah, and real quick, today, just so everybody knows how it works today, so anybody who was released yesterday who has not had 4 years yet in this league, they're on waivers. Any team can claim them. It goes in the order of the draft. The Tennessee Titans have the first claim. It does not reset. If the Titans want a guy, they get him. They want another guy, they get him. Want another guy, they get him. That's how it goes, right? The Bills have the 30th pick. 29 teams have to pass on a guy before the Bills can get him if they want him. So it's tough, but it could happen. Once that guy is claimed, he goes right to the 53-man roster. Then you have to make a move for him. Anybody who is in the league more than 4 years is a free agent, and they can just sign with anybody. They don't have to get claimed to a new contract, practice squad, or otherwise. Once noon hits today, everybody who's been claimed is awarded. Everybody becomes free agents. You start formulating your practice squad. You get 16 players there, 17 with an international player. In the Bills' case, that could be Travis Clayton. Then they have their roster. Then we will hear from Brandon Bean at 2:30 p.m. today. It's important because we'll find out maybe more clarity on Tre'Davious White at 2:30 p.m. today from Brandon Bean. Then the Bills will hit the practice field, guys, with their team. Yep. They'll hit the practice field with their 53 and their practice squad, and here we go. They're preparing for the Baltimore Ravens starting at 3 o'clock today, and today's the first day that the media cannot watch all of practice. Now we know football is really here.
There you go. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Football season is here. Rivalries uniforms revealed tomorrow. We'll hear from Brandon Bean today, as Sal has just pointed out. So lots to get to. 803-0550, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. He's coming up at 8:30. The Jaguars and Lions just made an interesting trade regarding Tim Patrick. So let me dig into that for a moment. And much more to get to. 803-0550 on WGR. Hey, everybody. Jeremy and Joe, there's an event coming up this weekend. Join Khalil Shakir in Northtown Toyota for the Shakir Family Pet Adoption Event Saturday from 11 to 3 at Northtown Toyota, 1135 Millersport Highway in Amherst. Meet lovable pets ready for adoption from local rescues, grab bites from food trucks, shop local vendors, enjoy giveaways, raffles, and live entertainment, all for a great cause, benefiting Nickel City Canine Rescue, Awesome Paws Rescue, and Buddy's Second Chance. That's Saturday, 11 to 3, Northtown Toyota. I was listening to News Radio 930 WBEN on the way in, and I had to text Brian Mazurowski and ask him how old he is.
Okay.
Because they're doing a story that the Guinness World Records, is celebrating its 70th anniversary.
Okay.
And they mentioned in there that the Guinness line of books is the number one selling book series something. Whatever.
Ever?
The Bible might be higher, but whatever. Oh. The point is, yeah, more than 155 million books worldwide.
Wow.
In their 70 years. And he pointed out accurately exactly what I was thinking in the moment, which was, he's 35, I'm 46, I don't know if it made it all the way to you guys. Did you have Scholastic book fairs in, like, school?
Yes, we did.
Of course.
Absolutely. Was the Guinness Book of World Records the prize price? Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
They sold 155 million copies because they sold the Guinness Book to 10-year-olds for generations.
Yes.
You'd all have that one friend that bought it, and everyone would huddle around and, like, read all the records and stuff.
Look at the two guys on the motorcycles.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, Guinness has listed a number of unclaimed records. New records that are asking to be broken. Ready?
Yeah.
You let me know which one you feel like you can take a run at.
Okay.
Most high fives in 30 seconds.
Ooh. What's the number?
It's unclaimed.
It's unclaimed.
I think they're putting it out there like, go for it.
Most high fives in 30 seconds.
I think a Bandits fan could probably do this. The high five thing they do at the games?
You got to be able to do more than one a second, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of high
50
fives.
50 at least.
Most table tennis balls held in one hand.
That's unclaimed?
I need, like,
unclaimed.
Shaq or Victor Wembanyama, I think, is the people you need to ask about that one.
Right. Most T-shirts put on in 30 seconds.
Ooh.
No. No.
Don't want it?
No.
Here's one anybody could try. Most stackable potato-based crisps eaten in 1 minute. Oh. 1 minute
stackable
Pringles.
So Pringles.
Yeah.
How many Pringles you can eat in 1 minute?
1 minute.
I mean, I could definitely do a whole can.
In a minute?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like that's
no doubt.
Is that Friday?
Oh.
A Pringles race? Joe and O in a Pringles race.
Oh, man.
Now that'd listen, awesome. The season starts in 8 days, 9 days. We got to get our wacky
Does it say how I have to eat them?
No, it just says most.
All right, so if I close the lid and shake it up and break them and then drink the Pringles like you would do at the end of the can.
I was thinking the same thing.
Doesn't sound to me like in the description that would be illegal.
Those are no longer stackable. They must be stackable.
They were stackable.
It's not formerly stackable.
Oh, yeah.
It's stackable.
Currently stackable.
Joe starts stacking the crumbs.
I'm trying. Like, the first time anyone ever dipped the hot dog in water to do it at the hot dog eating contest.
Yeah.
Someone probably said the same thing. Like, that's not how you do it.
That's different, though, because you're still eating the whole hot dog. You're eating the hot dog in the bun.
You want to talk about the Guinness process. Like, the guys at the 11-day power play learned this, how the audits are really intense, right?
Yeah.
I remember talking to Mike Lesikowski about that. Just more of these. Most leapfrog jumps in 1 hour by a team of two. Is you and a friend just
most leapfrog jumps?
Yeah.
Wow.
Most seat drops on a trampoline in 1 hour? By the way, random thing here. How about Josh Palmer in the locker room in Tampa? He just jumps on a trampoline during halftime? He's just jumping on a little trampoline. Did you catch that in Hard Knocks last night?
I think I missed that.
Did
I walk away?
They're giving a speech at halftime, and there's Josh Palmer's jumping on a
trampoline.
There's
got
to be some sort of circulatory cause for that.
Whatever
That's
works.
That's got to be interesting.
Anyway, Guinness Book. Nice to know that it made it to your generation. I got to buy that Guinness Book.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that was the
longest fingernails. Like horrible pictures.
Yeah, you would see. Yeah, those crazy ones that were gross. Yeah. You'd freak your friends out with. Yeah, those book fairs were awesome.
Did you know it's the same people as the beer?
It is. Yes, it is aligned created by the brothers.
I didn't know that until I just assumed they were separate until I did the Guinness tour in Ireland, and there it is. Like, the guy that started the Book of World Records had like a thing, in one of the first things you go through. So
it was
I don't know if they own it.
1950s. It was the then managing director of the Guinness Brewery. Sir Hugh Beaver.
What a name.
Wow.
Sir Hugh Beaver.
Sir Hugh Beaver.
Inspiring generations to read that book. Love it.
The Beave.
Sir Beaver.
Sir Beaver, right?
Sir Beaver. It started because they were debating the following question. What's the fastest game bird in Europe? Just a couple of
fastest game bird?
Yeah. Just a couple of guys sitting around debating the fastest bird, and they created an empire.
That's exactly what Sir Beaver would
Sir
be talking
Beaver.
About, too.
Sports talk totally is timeless, isn't it?
You know, really.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Right. 155 million copies. All right. 803-0550 on the Bills roster. And, you know, counting down the days to the season here, Joe Marino joins us at 8:30 for his take on the Bills roster from Joe Marino from the Locked On Bills podcast, 8:30. Your calls when we return if you want, 803-0550 on WGR.